This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is the single greatest witch hunt of a politician in American history. That was the tweet from President Donald Trump this morning, following yesterday evening's news that the Justice Department has appointed former FBI Director Robert Mueller as special counsel to oversee its Russia investigation. While the president may be fuming, Congress issued a collective bipartisan exhale at the news. Here's Minnesota Democratic Senator Amy Klobuchar.
It's like a breath of fresh air has come into this week-long saga, in that I think he is someone that has support on both sides of the aisle. You've heard barely a complaint about him, which is quite unique.
And here's House Speaker Republican Paul Ryan just this afternoon.
I believe that the professionals at the Justice Department need to do their jobs independently, objectively, and thoroughly. And I believe the special counsel, which is Robert Mueller now, helps them do that.
Mueller often shunned the press during his career. His new appointment was no exception. He issued a disciplined and short statement, quote, "I accept this responsibility and will discharge it to the best of my ability." However, in the past, Mueller has given the public a slightly more substantial glimpse into how he approaches his work. Here's what he said at a ceremony when he retired as FBI director in 2013.
I've always been proud to say that I work for the Department of Justice because of that for which it stands, which is an unyielding commitment to the rule of law and to the safety and security of the citizens we serve.
Substantial portions of Mueller's legal career unfolded here in Boston. And joining us now to explore what kind of special counsel he may make is Nancy Gertner. She's a former Massachusetts federal judge, and she's also a senior lecturer at Harvard Law School and WBUR's legal analyst. Judge Gertner, it's good to have you back.
Good to be here.
Also with us, former U.S. attorney Michael Sullivan, now a partner at the Ashcroft Law Firm. Michael Sullivan, welcome back to you as well.
Thank you very much. Good to be with you.
All right. So first of all, let me get both reaction from both of you, I should say, at Robert Mueller as special counsel for the DOJ. Congress seems to think it's a good pick. Judge Gertner, do you agree?
I know him well. He was on the opposite side of cases that I was on when he was a U.S. attorney in Boston. In fact, one that is described in the Globe today, which was involving a East German spy, and he was representing the government, and I was representing the defendant. He is what people say he is. He's a straight shooter. He is someone who is dogged in the pursuit, you know, in an investigation. He is nonpartisan. I mean, he really, when this issue came up a couple of weeks ago, he would have been my pick if anyone had asked me.
Really?
So he's a terrific choice for this.
Michael Sullivan?
I can't disagree with anything Judge Gertner said. If the Department of Justice believed that they need special counsel to assist in this matter, you could not pick a better person than Bob Mueller. He's unflappable. He has the highest degree of ethics and integrity. His words mean something to him. He'll be faithful to his obligations. Absolutely confident that he will do everything in his power to do this as best as he can.
Okay, so Judge Gertner and Michael Sullivan, I'm going to ask you both sort of shades of a similar question here. I'd love you to help us understand really how Mueller operates. So Judge Gertner, you mentioned that case that you tried opposite
right,
of Mueller.
Right.
You defended a spy?
That's right.
And he prosecuted this spy in Boston.
That's right. I was a criminal defense lawyer, and that's what criminal defense lawyers do.
Who won that case?
Well, the defendant ultimately pled guilty, and a couple of months later, there was actually a trade for him and several American prisoners held by the Russians. By the East Germans.
Okay.
So it was a. I mean, what is he like? He's a professional. He doesn't play the press. He doesn't grandstand. He researches. He evaluates. You had a sense that what he said to you was because it was a considered judgment. He wasn't going for political office. He wasn't looking over your head to the next job. In fact, his career is quite funny in a way. Rather than U.S. attorneys who after they leave, it's nothing wrong with this, go on to a lucrative position. Bob has actually been in and out of the government. It's almost like every time he winds up at a big firm, he can't stand it and winds up as, you know, U.S. attorney in Boston, then U.S. attorney in San Francisco.
Well, let me ask a little more specifically then. I mean, in that case, for example, the German spy, like, what did you see about Mueller's approach to investigating this case. I mean, in that sense, he was a prosecutor in that case.
Right.
But his approach to investigation, because that's what he's going to be doing for the DOJ and on the Russia stuff.
Well, you understand, we don't see the investigation part. We only see the point at which there's an indictment and a trial. But it is clear this could have been a case that could have led to grandstanding. You know, it could have been the U.S. attorney who took to the cameras to talk about how what he was doing was saving the United States. There was absolutely none of that, mm-hmm. either in court or outside of court. And the other thing is that when there were issues about sharing information. There was classified information involved in the case. And he was someone who was willing to let us litigate our case by sharing information where we met the appropriate procedures. He wasn't playing games.
Right.
Is my point. I think that everyone who dealt with him understood that he was, I hate to put it this way, but what a prosecutor should be.
Well, Michael Sullivan, you were a U.S. attorney and you worked with Robert Mueller when he was FBI director. I guess the same question to you. Help us understand how, from your experience, what that might tell us about how Mueller will approach this Russia investigation.
Yeah, in my experience, it was a little bit different than Judge Gertner's. My experience and interaction with Bob Mueller was when he was heading up the FBI. So he had, obviously, the largest investigative law enforcement agency in the country. But I knew of Bob Mueller's reputation, and I think Judge Gertner has captured it very well. You started with the question with Judge Gertner in terms of who won, who lost the case. I think if you asked Bob Mueller that question, he wouldn't say that the government won or that he won the case. That's not the way he ever approached any of the things that were put before him. It's not a sporting event for Bob Mueller. It's about, you know, what he talked about in terms of the remarks that you shared at the beginning of the program. It's really about the rule of law and seeking justice. And that's the way he'll approach this. He has a tremendous reputation of being an extremely hard worker to begin with. He's very thorough. He has the ability of putting very talented people around him. He'll put together, I think, an excellent team of people to assist him in this endeavor. And as Judge Gertner pointed out, he's not the type of person that is interested in the public or media attention for the work that he does. He takes it very seriously. For a person that is the second longest serving director of the FBI, most people probably couldn't name him mm-hmm. as a director of the FBI before today. People, you know, remember J. Edgar Hoover, even if they weren't around at the time that Hoover led the FBI, and I suspect a lot of people remember Jim Comey. Bob Mueller, notwithstanding, he did a phenomenal job transforming the FBI at a critically important time in its history. Most people would not be able to name him as the director of the FBI.
Right. So there are some people who, while they have great respect for Robert Mueller, are perhaps a little less enthusiastic about the appointment of a special counsel. Senator Lindsey Graham spoke today about Mueller's appointment, and he said, as I mentioned, great respect for the man, but he has some concerns.
I respect the decision. Mueller's a good guy, but one of the big losers here is the public. Because we're not going to hear from Comey now, most likely. I hope we do. I want to hear about the conversation. I want to know the context of it. But now that you have a special counsel, maybe that's off the table.
Senator Graham, they're referring to, of course, former FBI Director Jim Comey, who had been invited to testify next week about the conversation that he had written these memos about, apparently. But Nancy Gertner, to Graham's bigger point here, I mean, this has been an extraordinary week, right? I mean, history-making, perhaps, in the role of news and leaks and revelations. Is that all going to come to a stop with Robert Mueller now leading this investigation? And what's the potential consequence of that regarding the public's need to know?
Well, that is a consequence of the appointment of a special prosecutor. His charge is to investigate potential criminal liability. And if he stays true to form, he will do that investigation competently, and there will be or should be no leaks, because that would prejudice the ultimate criminal investigation. And then if he determines that there are no criminal charges here, he, I would assume, will not do what Comey did, will not say no criminal charges, but these are bad people anyhow. The odds are you'd simply get a no referral. So it is true. And then the presence of a criminal investigation complicates any congressional investigation.
Right.
Congressional investigation would be public. His would not be. And there will be complicated issues. Congress may give someone immunity, for example. But
this happened in Iran-Contra.
That was in Iran-Contra. And then that could, in fact, undermine the criminal investigation. So, yes, there. You know, it's almost as if we have traded a public process for a completely thorough investigation.
Do you have a problem with that?
I don't. I actually think that given the overheated rhetoric about this on all sides, it's a good thing to have a professional simply go off and investigate every corner of this rather than Comey testifies on Monday and we're screaming about it the rest of the week.
Yeah. So, Michael Sullivan, same question to you. Do you have any concerns about the fact that could this potentially interfere or get in the way of a congressional investigation or vice versa?
And again, I think I said at the outset, once the Department of Justice determined that they felt that there was a need for special counsel, I think Bob Mueller is a perfect pick for it. I can't say I fully understand and appreciate, you know, the reason, but then again, I'm not privy to the kind of the thought process, the analysis that the Deputy Attorney General went through in order for him to get to this point. You know, whether it's a special counsel or the Department of Justice conducting the investigation without a special counsel, the points of kind of confidentiality, the need to keep certain information private to avoid leaks is paramount. It's paramount in any type of criminal investigation. Some portions of it are required by law, you know, in terms of grand jury pieces of the investigation, that those that are participating are precluded on the government side, are precluded from sharing the information that's being developed within a grand jury. So I'm not sure whether it was the Department of Justice or special counsel, there's any greater prohibitions in terms of sharing the information or how you announce the decision not to bring any criminal charges.
Right.
And I'm not, I can't say I'm an expert in the area, but I do think that there's an obligation at the close of this, if there are no charges, for at least the special counsel to report something at some point in time to certain members of Congress.
I see. Okay, so Nancy Gertner, I mean, let me just piggyback off what Michael Sullivan said, perhaps report to Congress, but also would you encourage Robert Mueller to put out a public accounting of what he found or didn't find?
Well, actually, that depends, right? I mean, if it's going to be criminal charges against someone, if there's a sitting grand jury, there'll be an indictment, there'll be a public proceeding. It really is only in the situation that we saw during the election, which is if someone is declining prosecution. But I mean, Mike Sullivan is right that Mueller, the risks of a public investigation now, not an announcement at the end, the risk of a public investigation is really that are the usual risks of leaking investigative material before there's an indictment, which is that you wind up with innocent people who may be maligned because this stuff is leaked. So there's a risk, and then there's a risk that you're skewing the ultimate trial. So But at the same token, he does have an obligation to report to the Attorney General. I think the statute actually allows him to report to the congressional committees. But suffice it to say, there are degrees here. Let me put it this way. It is certainly not as open a process as would be a hearing before the House Intelligence Committee or the Senate Select Committee, et cetera.
Yeah, but clarify one thing for me. I mean, again, I'm thinking what Senator Lindsey Graham said about, you know, he wanted to hear from James Comey potentially next week. I mean, could Robert Mueller in his capacity as special counsel go to Congress and say, don't call him to testify because I need him for this Justice Department investigation?
He would. There's no question about that, right? I mean, he could say, or rather, he could. Mr. X is called before the House committee or the Senate committee. Mr. X is a target of Mueller's investigation. Mr. X takes the fifth. Mueller doesn't have to say anything. Mr. X simply takes the fifth because there's a pending investigation. Mm-hmm. So while he's not directing anyone on the House or Senate to do anything, but he can create a situation in which witnesses will not comply.
Okay, so last question for both of you then. If that is indeed the case, this is not so much a legal question, but more sort of the effect of an investigation on of this level on the democracy, on our on citizens' view of government right now. Because I one of the remarkable things about this week is we are discovering so many things about what's been going on with various aspects of the Trump administration and the DOJ. And I do think there's a profound hunger out there. People want to know, perhaps not everyone, but many people want to know more. And if that does come to an end, you know, a cooling off period might be fine, but on the other hand, could it once again sort of ratchet up distrust? And will that have a long-term implication, regardless of what Robert Mueller may find?
I'm not saying that it will come to an end. What I'm saying is that his investigation will likely be confidential until such time as he thinks he has something to report. The House and the Senate can continue, but they're certainly—
They still should continue, I'd say.
That's right. They can continue, but certainly this adds additional complexity. But to Mike Sullivan, sort of why this is a special prosecutor, why'd you have to do it? There's an inherent conflict of interest when the Attorney General, the Department of Justice, is charged with investigating the guy who appointed him. And I think two things happened this week that triggered this. One was firing Comey, and the other was Comey's account of the conversation with the president in which the president is telling him to lay off Flynn.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you had the possibility, perhaps the reality, of real interference in an investigation. So I think Rosenstein was completely authorized, and it was totally justified to appoint a special prosecutor.
Deputy Attorney General.
I
know it's been such a week, technically speaking. James Comey was fired last week.
I'm completely confused.
Michael Sullivan, we just got a couple seconds left. I wanted to give the quick last thought to you.
I think you started the segment by, you know, I think using some of President Trump's tweets about this being the largest witch hunt in the history of our nation. It may turn out to be just that. It may turn out at the end of the day that there's no underlying evidence to essentially establish any criminal conduct. And will we know that? I think we will know that at some point in time because of the public nature of the charges that are presently pending. Mm. Remind people that within our democracy, you're innocent until proven guilty.
Right.
You know, let those people that are responsible for conducting the investigation to do their work and then let their judgment help guide us.
Michael Sullivan, former U.S. attorney for the District of Massachusetts, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Nancy Gertner, retired Massachusetts federal judge and lecturer at Harvard Law School and WBUR's legal analyst and defender of spies.
Oh, my.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Back in a moment. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.